and Austin Talks Sports.
Start up your Tuesday here on B&E. Appreciate you starting every day with us. Show of the people, our thoughts, your thoughts, big stories of the day, and fun conversations. That's how we do it each and every day. 4 hours of fun and conversation, live and local, digital as well, on the Horn app and at hornfm.com, however you can find us. Appreciate you doing so. Use that smart speaker these days, working from home a lot, in the car less. In the car, that's fine. We love those folks as well. But at home, fire up that smart speaker. Tell Alexa, hey, turn on the Horn Austin. And you'll have us live and local all day, each day, with the local sports conversations you want to hear about, conversations you want to have. That's what we do here at the Horn. It's a lot going on. All the NBA teams were in action yesterday on the MLK Day holiday. So we had all three Texas teams. We had the Warriors rallying to beat the Lakers last night in the thriller, which was fun. Got James Harden all of a sudden not wearing his fat suit, I guess, down about 20 pounds, it appears, maybe more. He has back-to-back 30-point games for Brooklyn as they actually beat Milwaukee last night in a real good one. That could be a kind of an Eastern Conference Finals preview there with the Nets and the Bucks. So we'll get into some hoops. We got a big college basketball game last night. On the way to the break, Buck, though, we asked a Tom Brady-related trivia question because Tom Brady's 43 years old. He'll play in the semifinals of the NFL. The four teams, two of them will play in the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks. And he's the first professional athlete in one of the four major American sports to compete in his respective league's semifinal round since when? Last player to do it. It was 10 years ago, I will tell you that. And this is one of the tougher of the B&E Fact of the Days that we've had. Any guess, Buck?
How about hockey?
Yes, I mean, you are correct.
Gordie Howe?
It is hockey, but it was only 10 years ago. It was actually
Ovechkin, or no, it was
Jaromir Jagr would have been a great guess in 2016, okay. But he was 44, but Pittsburgh was out in the first round.
Okay.
Yeah, some of the best guesses included Fernando Rodney, the pitcher who was in the playoffs this past year, but he's only 42. Bartolo Colon was mentioned. Mariano Rivera, his last playoff appearance with the Yankees, he was 41.
How old was Nolan when his last?
I got to look that up. But the most recent 43-year-old or older to play at this level and in this far for his team was Mark Recchi of the Boston Bruins in the 2011 Stanley Cup run for the Bruins. How about that? Mark Recchi, 10 years ago. Guess everybody guessed that. I guess the point of the question, it tells you just how rarefied this is for Tom Brady, Buck. It's almost, because it's Tom Brady, it's, of course, Tom Brady's in the championship game. He's always in the championship game. But this is quite an accomplishment. And at 43 years old, Tom Brady feels like he's getting younger. I mean, the Benjamin Button story continues. You know, we love Drew Brees, and his career is unbelievable. One of the great athletes, ever to come out of Austin, and then one of the more popular players ever in New Orleans history. But quite honestly, Drew Brees looked old on Sunday in that game. Tom Brady does not look old. There's been times that this year where maybe, but Bucky looks as spry and as sharp and as we've seen him, and he's got a chance to get his Buccaneers to the Super Bowl.
Well, it's not that he looks old, and it just looks like they're still not on the same page. And the receivers, there hadn't been enough time for those guys when he got there this summer. And then COVID, and you didn't have any spring stuff to get together. He was throwing, when he was spotted throwing balls to guys in the park like everybody else in the NFL were doing. I mean, that's all he really got. And then he got to start to play in these games, a little bit of a camp, and they're still not quite on the same page with all the route running. So it's not that he's old. It's just there's some miscommunication still with Tom Brady and his wide receivers and running backs and stuff like that coming out of the backfield. I think this Tampa Bay team will be better next year when they have some time to practice and they have some time to get together and Tom Brady can implement what he wants them to do and where he wants them to be. For Drew Brees, I just think it's just a matter of you don't have the arm strength to do what you need to do in the NFL, and then people can play certain coverages against you. You can't play certain coverages against Tom Brady when he and his receivers know what's going on. He can still throw the ball down the field, 60 yards down the field if need be. I don't think Drew Brees can get it down there 45 yards. And that to me is the difference.
Well, and it's not there were some folks on the text line saying we were critical of Drew Brees yesterday. Look, I mean, it's just Father Time catches up. It just does. It catches everybody.
And that's critical that he's getting old. That's what we all are.
And I think Drew Brees would admit there are throws that he used to be able to make that he simply can't make right now.
And his was all about timing anyway. He was never a long ball thrower. No. I don't know why all of a sudden people acted like Drew Brees was the bomber. I mean, he was Dan Marino. He used to just let it heave ho. He was never that guy anyway. So he was always timing, anticipating where the throws go. You know, he was very much like that. So I don't know why people would think that we're jamming Drew Brees. It just he was never that way anyway. And as you get older, you're not all of a sudden going to gain arm strength.
Yeah. And it just limited what the offensive playbook could be, and it made it, I think, easier on the defense. And you just had to be perfect. You had to work the play. You know, everything's got to be, you know, 12-play drives to get yourself into the end zone. That's a challenge in the NFL as the teams get better.
If the tight end catches the ball, I thought they were winning. I thought they were going to go down and score and be up 14. And I thought that ball game was going to be over. So it's not jamming Drew Brees. It's just there's some things that happened in the ball game. I'm not blaming Drew Brees for the loss of the Saints. Hell, I'm looking more at the tight end who talks all the time. Then he catches the ball, then he fumbles. That was the biggest point in that football game.
It is a big one.
If they go down and go up by 10, then I think Tom Brady, I think they have trouble getting back in that game because momentum is just all with him. And you could just see when that ball got fumbled, it came right out of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, because that was a big game. It was a pivotal point of the game, but you can't not mention the three Drew Brees interceptions because those were huge too. I mean, those were
two out of three were terrible.
Yeah, equally big. One of them, you know, almost went for a pick six, and yes, the Jared Cook fumble was a big play. That was a midfield, and it did feel like the Saints had already been up seven and looked like they could go get some more points.
Oh yeah,
and it didn't happen, and they didn't score again. The Saints didn't score again in that spot. The rest of the game, and the Drew Brees picks were big. Okay, so that's out there. There's your fact of the day. And the question for Tom Brady is, how good will the Bucs be when he's 48? Because he doesn't show any signs of slowing down. They're going to be good next year. Maybe he'll be 45 in a couple years and still slinging it. And this guy says the supermodel diet certainly works. This one says it's amazing what HGH can do for a guy. Yeah, maybe. But either way, this is, if Tom's supermodel diet and workouts from Giselle, yeah, I could see that. Probably does.
Well, if you read his book, I mean, this guy.
Oh, he's totally dedicated.
What he eats and what he does and the way he, you know, his meals are cooked and everything that he does. I mean, it's just so natural there. You know, he's got his own ice cream and different types of ice cream that are made out of, I don't know, greens or whatever. But, I mean, who can eat like that? By the way, who can afford to eat like that every night? Who can have a chef that's waiting for him all day long, whether it's your lunch or whatever? He's not eating the same thing that the guys are eating. when it comes time to training camp and you have training tables and things like that, he's not eating with those dudes. He's not eating that food.
Correct. All right.
You know what I'm saying?
He's totally committed. There's no question. I think I don't want to say you or I could look like that at that age. I'm 48. But if I committed to that diet, I would look better. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, sure you would. If you could afford
if I had that
to do
commitment.
That,
but... But I like to have some bad food every now and again. He doesn't eat any bad food. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, right.
All.
He doesn't eat any bad
at
food.
All.
His body's massaged probably, I don't know, at least he probably gets a massage a day somehow, some way. I mean, if you could pamper yourself into having those things and can afford to do that each and every day to get rid of the kinks in your body and to eat like he eats and still... You know what I mean? And have the mind that he has for the game of football. Yeah, you could probably do a lot of things for a long, long time, but who the hell does that?
Yeah.
Tom Nobody.
Brady. LeBron. You know, LeBron James. I mean,
yeah, he's another one. Yeah. There's another guy.
It's been estimated then, and LeBron is, LeBron spends between $1 and $3 million a year on his body. And Tom Brady's probably in that conversation between what you're talking
There's
about.
There's no doubt.
But if you're worth several $100 million, what is that to keep, you know, a couple more years in your career? $1 million to $3 million on everything you just said, trainers and chefs and diet plans and massage therapists and everything that keeps that body as healthy as it's possible. And so if you're looking for a fountain of youth, then that's it. But not everyone wants
call
to.
Money. It's called money.
But it's not every, and then it goes to the player. It's not everybody wants to continue to have that level of commitment that late into their careers. These two guys are certainly stand out as two of the greats all time. Let's get to your headlines. There's some breaking news from baseball this morning. Let's get to it. UBO Business Services. Start with baseball. We'll get to the hoops in a minute. But word from New York this morning that the New York Mets have fired their general manager, Jared Porter. Yesterday, the Mets confirmed and admitted that they had acknowledged that their general manager made a serious error in judgment back in 2016 when he was a member of the Chicago Cubs front office. Apparently sent some illicit photos to a reporter back in 2016 when he was with the Cubs. Again, as I say, the Mets said they acknowledged it yesterday. This morning they have fired their general manager, Jared Porter. Basketball hoops last night, top 10 battle in the Big 12. turned into a rout as junior guard Jared Butler fired in a season-high 30 points, dished out 8 assists to lead second-ranked Baylor past ninth-ranked Kansas, 77-69. Second-ranked Bears are now 13-0. They've won all games by all 13 by at least 8 points. After the game, a fairly impressed Bill Self conceded there's a pretty large gap in college basketball between the top-ranked Gonzaga Bulldogs and the Baylor Bears.
Well, I would be shocked if there's a third that fits into that category. We saw Gonzaga actually run it right down our throat right from the beginning. We saw Baylor do the same thing tonight. So the games were actually pretty similar. Baylor, I think, had us down 14 or 16 or something, and Gonzaga had us down the same thing. And I don't know which one I'd say better. They're both terrific.
Both terrific for sure. Fifth-ranked Texas, meanwhile, now has an unplanned week off after word from TCU yesterday. Jamie Dixon, their head coach, that they will not be able to play this Saturday evening's game with Texas. Came after word on that Iowa State would be unable to play the game Wednesday because of COVID issues. So Longhorns will now not play again until this a week from tonight, next Tuesday, hosting Oklahoma. College football, bombshell from the SEC yesterday. Tennessee announced that they have fired head coach Jeremy Pruitt after an internal investigation into the football program's compliance uncovered a significant number of serious NCAA violations. Two assistant coaches were also fired for cause. Pruitt's attorney, meanwhile, responded with a vehement denial and statement that says the decision to fire Pruitt was orchestrated, not based in fact. It was actually based in financial convenience. Volunteers went 3-7 in 2020. NFL has sent word to all 32 teams at the 2021 NFL Scouting Combine. Essentially, it's not going to happen. Significantly altered is what they called it, but there will be no centralized in-person workouts on the field, nor will there be in-person medical evaluations for prospects. Combine was scheduled to run from February 23rd to March 2nd. They've had that combine in Indianapolis every year since 1987. Speaking of prospects, Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields has announced and made it official he will enter the 2021 NFL draft, foregoing his senior season in Columbus. Fields, along with Clemson's Trevor Lawrence and BYU's Zach Wilson, considered the top three quarterbacks in the upcoming draft. NBA, everybody in action yesterday on MLK Day. Spurs routed Portland 125-104. Toronto routed the Dallas Mavericks, beat them pretty good last night. And how about the Houston Rockets? They fall to the Chicago Bulls, 135-133. Victor Oladipo, though, in his debut, pumped in 32 points, had 8 assists.
UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. UBO Business Services specializes in streamlining workflow to allow better communication within your organization and with your customers. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
You know, yesterday I went to Mickey D's in Dripping Springs, and I'm going to have to applaud them for the incredible hot fries that I got.
Ooh.
I'm putting them out there as the ones that don't put out the nasty, nasty fries. They put out some really nice fries for me yesterday. But, of course, I had a Filet-O-Fish sandwich, and that one was not quite up to speed. I'm going to have to ask for fresh fish the next time I go to Mickey D's here. I'm happy about the fries. Make no mistake about that, because the most disappointing thing about if you go to McDonald's and you get bad fries, no matter what the other part of the meal is, you're so disappointed. Just awfully disappointed. But I'm going to have to say the word fresh fish when I go to Mickey D's. How does that sound to you?
Where are they going to get that? Are they going to have to?
What do you mean? Where are they going to get that?
I'm at the McDonald's drive-thru. Could I get some fresh cod? Yeah, probably
it's
not.
It's cod. Probably come not. On, it's fresh cod, man. Come on.
Yeah, I don't think fresh would be.
Maybe mahi-mahi that they're doing, so.
The F you're looking for there is frozen.
Okay. Wow. But the fries are delicious, man. Nothing like some good hot fries.
I don't think that's on the Tom Brady diet, by the way, the fresh fish and fries from McDonald's.
By the way, if I had that kind of money, I still wouldn't be on that diet. Who the hell wants to be on that diet, on that deal?
It's. By the way, did you taste the fries? Could you taste the fries? Is it?
Not yet, but I can smell.
Okay, you can smell now. Okay, you're almost there.
Yes, I can. I'm almost getting back there, but I got my smell semi back. I can smell some good things and some bad things, but I still kind of hold my nose real quick when I take down some of this good food some of this good Brady food that I should have been eating years ago. You know, I'm doing a lot of broccoli, doing a lot of greens. Actually, had what is that? Not eggplant. Oh. Eggplant is in the squash family, so I generally stay away from that. Anything to do with squash and okra and eggplant. But I ate some eggplant yesterday. Yeah, just tastes like, of course, a bagel again, but I think that's good for me. A nice fresh, you know, piece of eggplant. So I'm good with that. I'm fine. But when I get my taste back, I'm done with that crap again.
Let me ask Tom. I'll email Tom Brady, see what he says. Because I know that Tom in his diet, he doesn't eat any of the nightshades. None of the nightshades. The plants.
Probably nothing with a face.
Yeah. Well, probably not. Doesn't eat anything with a mouth or a face. I don't know what Tom eats for Colonel. Well,
no, my wife has his
Giselle?
Book. My wife got that book.
The Tom Brady diet? TB12?
Yeah, of course.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Hey, let's dive into our Coach's Corner. It is brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. Appreciate Tom McKay and his team. All right, so that news just came down, Buck. This is now filed under the all-too-common headline of Don't Push Send. Here's another knucklehead who has lost himself a really good gig. You know, it's only 30 in Major League Baseball teams. Jared Porter was one of the general managers of one of them. Now he's fired because apparently 4 or 5 years ago he sent dirty pictures of his man thing to a reporter while a member of the Cubs organization.
Yeah, she was from another country.
Ooh.
And he was trying to impress her that everything is
bigger in America.
Welcome to America. Coming to America. He just wanted to impress her that, and she'd asked him numerous times to stop it, and he eventually apologized to her and said, I'm sorry about doing that, but probably sounds like he sent just one more thing. He sent the big package on his last request, so.
Yeah, on Monday, ESPN reported that Porter sent photos of his man thing, dozens of unanswered text messages to a female reporter in 2016 while he was the Cubs director of professional scouting. Yeah, don't push send. Not a good idea.
No, absolutely don't do it.
See ya. So he's out. That's a done deal. In New York, they're now in search of a new general manager.
That sounds like a good job, too, though. You know what I mean?
Those are pretty scarce gigs. They're pretty scarce gigs. It's only 30 of them in all of the world. General manager of a Major League Baseball team. That's pretty good. But that is interesting. I mean, there is some subplot there because Houston Astro fans pretty much are resigned to the fact that George Springer is going to be playing in a different uniform next year.
Yes.
Astros have moved on from George Springer, and I still think that people like my mom are still withholding hope that George Springer will be back, but you just go ahead and I've been trying to talk her through it all off season. But George Springer is going to sign, and some believe he was about to sign this week, and the teams most being mentioned are the Toronto Blue Jays and the New York Mets. Now, I don't know if this Jared Porter situation impacts that at all, but George Springer likely to sign at some point as a free agent this week, but that did come down today. Buck, speaking of football and coaches, what do we make of this? Now, the one thing I'll say, Houston Texans, I don't have to do, you can't say much good about them at this point, but I did say with this coaching search, you know, let's wait till Nick Caserio gets on scene. They hadn't interviewed Eric Bieniemy and Deshaun Watson wasn't happy about it, and everybody got jumped on that. But one thing I can say in defense of Cal McNair, they were trying to hire a general manager before they hired the coach. So the general manager interviews were ahead of that, and now they have a general manager in place who was hired last Friday. And yesterday he did seek permission from the Chiefs, because we told you last week that the Texans requested an interview with Eric Bieniemy, the much highly respected offensive coordinator of the Chiefs, and they were denied because the Chiefs said, you missed our window. You should have called him during the bye week. We would have made room for an interview, but now we're you can't talk to him until the season is over for the Chiefs. Well, Texans got back with the Chiefs and the NFL yesterday on a Monday and said, look, it's his off day. Can we do a Zoom interview? Because we really would like to interview Eric Bieniemy, which they did, and by all accounts went very well. Texans had four interviews yesterday via Zoom, including the Colts defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus, who runs that great Colts defense. They also had an interview with the defense coordinator of the Rams, who ended up being named the head coach of the LA Chargers. So four interviews yesterday. But by late in the day yesterday, all the NFL insiders, including some that cover the Texans, saying that the interview went really well and that the Texans may want to do a follow-up with Eric Bieniemy and maybe get Deshaun Watson involved in the interview process. So the Texans trying to make amends with their quarterback and maybe hire a new coach. What say you?
Well, I would say that the NFL probably – you know, with the Chiefs and of course with the Texans, somebody said, "Hey, you know, there haven't been any black head coaches hired. We're going to be under the microscope here once again. If we don't hire that, just basically, there's six or seven teams that right now there's only two teams left, and they're probably going, uh-oh, here we go. We need to get this done. We need to get at least this guy interviewed here with the Texans. We can't wait until the end. So." I still hope he doesn't take it. I think it's a dysfunctional place for him to go. But there's only two left, and both of those places right now seem to be pretty dysfunctional.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I truly thought he would go with the Chargers. I thought that the Chargers and Eric Bieniemy would be coaching for them, and it would be done even during the playoffs, that he's the guy once the playoffs is done with. So that didn't happen. I don't know. I mean, if you're doing this just to appease Deshaun Watson, that's okay. If you're really going to hire this guy, if you go for a second interview, then that's serious. Then you're serious about hiring him as your head coach. But my personal opinion is, dude, don't take that job.
Yes.
I don't care if you have to wait another year. I don't care what people will say. I don't care what comes out about hiring minority coaches. The hell with that. If you're going to a dysfunctional place, you as a African-American head coach, you're not going to get six chances. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So that first chance that you choose has to be sound all the way around, because you're not going to, you know, 3 years down the road or 2 years down the road, they'll be calling your name again. It's taken this long to call your name the first time. So, I don't know. I'd say wait it out. And in both those places right now, Philly, I mean, there's the two places that haven't hired head coaches right now, they're both kind of scary.
Yeah.
If you go there.
Well, yeah.
I don't care if you're black or white. They're both scary.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, because the organization
is a mess. Any head coach that goes there right now is dysfunctional.
Who's in control? And obviously Doug Peterson lost a power struggle with Howie Roseman and the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, and he was fired just 3 years after winning a Super Bowl. Eagle fans would also say that we fired Andy Reid after he, you know, went to the Super Bowl and took us to you know, five or six NFC Championship games. That wasn't good enough. What are they looking for? It's kind of the argument. And even in coaching
Andy
circles,
Reid would have stayed in Philadelphia forever. He loved the town of Philly.
Yes.
You know, he really did. So
and you know, he was, and Philly can be tough even when they're winning, but Philly,
that's right,
was they couldn't win the Super Bowl. And so
that's right.
It was almost the victim of his own success. They were in the NFC Championship game every year with Donovan McNabb. They couldn't win it, and that wasn't good enough, so they fired him. And, you know, Kansas City was really, really happy to hire him and bring him in. And, you know, obviously with the acquisition and the draft pick of Pat Mahomes, and now all of a sudden they've got this match made in heaven, and the winning probably continues in Kansas City. But, yes, as for the Bieniemy thing, I will say, you know, I can't defend the Texans. Everyone knows my opinion on Cal McNair and Jack Easterby and that mess. But as I have said, I do like Nick Caserio, and I do think Nick Caserio is in charge of the roster and the coaching staff. If he can land Eric Bieniemy and try to smooth over some things with – because the only person that can fix the Deshaun Watson relationship in that organization is Caserio, now at GM, and get a coach. Because I don't think you'd be hiring Eric Bieniemy just to appease your quarterback. You'd be hiring him because he's a highly qualified coach who's done an incredible job with Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, Deshaun Watson's request of the owner was, look, at least talk to Eric Bieniemy, because I've talked to Mahomes. He says the guy's great. My quarterback coach that Deshaun Watson works with highly recommends Bieniemy, thinks he's the next big thing, that tremendous young coach, and along the lines of a Sean McVay or, you know, one of these great, great coaches. And so, yeah, I mean, if Nick Caserio was you know, impressed with what the interview process was yesterday, it wouldn't be just to appease Deshaun Watson. That would certainly help to get Deshaun Watson, you know, back on board with the new coaching staff and the new direction with the new GM. But at the same time, you know, I think Eric Bieniemy is a really, really good coach. And if he indeed, as Chiefs fans and the folks of the Chiefs would say, did call those plays late in the game on Sunday to help run out the clock against the Bills, I mean, I'll take that guy against the Browns. I'll take that dude any day.
But he also has been calling plays for the last couple of years. It's not like this is his first rodeo. He's been pretty good for a while, and he's still not got the coaching job. And like I said yesterday, it could be possibly because he may not be a good interviewer. There are just people that once they get, you know, they can stand on the sideline, call plays, talk to players. Players understand them. Players love them. But when you get into a formal interview, that can be quite scary for you. You know what I'm saying? And you may not interview well. So it sounds like this is going well for him. I just don't like the team that's going well for.
Well, that's my team, so I will say, you know, with a better general manager and that quarterback, and you know, I would be excited to see how those two work together with Eric Bieniemy. But we'll follow that story. Obviously, the Chiefs have bigger fish to fry, and so does Eric Bieniemy. They have an AFC Championship game coming up on Sunday. We will get you the very latest on Patrick Mahomes, his concussion. He is indeed in the concussion protocol. What does that look like? The timeline for the Chiefs as they play the Bills on Sunday. Also, there is, as we said last hour, there's a new name in the Texas hunt for a defensive coordinator. Comes from the Great Northwest, and there are now multiple sites reporting that name, and we'll get you the very latest on that front. Steve Sarkisian looking to zero in on his first defensive coordinator as head coach at Texas. That's coming back next here on
Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, there it is. That is our continued rundown of the top 100 most requested wedding songs on a Tuesday where it's going to rain all day.
Who the hell played this at their wedding?
Number six on the list, Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston. The great Whitney.
I need some line dancing. That's what I wanted. I need some line dancing.
Oh, we got that coming. We just want to do Whitney. Like the... Yeah, Whitney. Yeah, man, these are love songs. These are love songs. You know what I'm saying? I want to dance with someone who loves me. That's the way that goes. Yeah, I mean, I know where you were in the 70s going to most weddings. You staying alive by the
Beatles. Oh, when I wasn't married? Before I got married?
Yeah,
look out.
Yeah, staying alive by the Bee Gees, I'm sure, was a big one for you. We'll do that one coming up. Yeah.
I just wanted to know who the maid of honor and her friends were.
You were the original.
That's what I wanted to know.
Wedding crasher?
I was like, wedding crashers, hell yeah.
Well, because you know how that goes, right? The wedding party, the ladies that are, especially the single ones, or only let's go with only the single ones, you know, they're jealous that they're not hitched yet. Their friends getting hitched. I mean, that's the whole basis of wedding crashers, right? They're vulnerable.
I wanted to be hitched for just the day, night.
Sure, yeah, right. Get some champagne in them, and you know, do a little groove song, and there you go.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we'll run through. We're not going to play all 100, but yeah, you don't like Whitney Houston? That's top 10, or that's top 10 material,
that's
right?
Top 10, huh?
What it says right here. This is from, hey, I'm not even going to dispute this. This is something called brides.com. Brides.com. Ooh. I'm not even arguing with that deal.
Are the brides the one who do the music? Are they basically the ones who say what we're going to be playing at my wedding? Because it is. Remember, it's her wedding and her mother's wedding.
Correct.
If she has a mother, if her mother's still alive, believe me, it's not your wedding as the groom. It's her wedding and her mother's wedding.
To show up on time.
Just be there. Just be there. I was
just show up where you're supposed
at the time
to
of my,
say what you're supposed to say.
Yeah, at my first wedding, I was in my apartment. My wife had stayed over her mother's house the night before. I was at the apartment, and my best friend from Pennsylvania, before we left, we had like two shots of Jack and split a six-pack before I went to the church.
I don't know that, because our wedding
I had a
was
couple
like,
shots before I went.
Ours was like 2:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, it was mine's in the afternoon. No big deal. Two shots
and the reception, because we had a big Irish, my wife's Czech, so it was this huge Irish Czech Catholic wedding. We had like 400 people there in the gymnasium at the Catholic church. It was crazy. The party went till like 10. Wedding started at 2:30. Think about that, Zay. We were there going till 10. This was way pre-COVID.
I was married on the Boston at the church in Boston College on the campus.
Ooh,
see, yeah, man.
I don't think I had any pops or anything before the event, but a couple of my buddies, because the Houston Rockets was in April, so the Rockets were in the playoffs. So a bunch of my friends went down to, I think they went over to the track, Buck, because the church we got married in is not far from the Sam Houston Race Park in Houston, and they ran over
really?
There. Yeah, they had to drop their because their wives were like part of the wedding party or whatever. So they had to get there couple hours early for photos and all that. So, a couple of my buddies went and watched the Rockets game at the horse track and then showed up at the wedding. So that's how that started. It was a long day. Long day. Back a long time ago now. Hey, let's get to your new story here. We got our coach's corner. We were talking about the Texans and Eric Bieniemy. We've also got the Texas Longhorns looking for a new defensive coordinator. We mentioned this name earlier this morning because I had found it searching and kind of doing some digging from the West Coast, that this kind of came out in some of the Washington Huskies-centric sites, that Texas football, this is now hitting some of the local sites here that cover the Longhorns. It says sources close to Texas football say that the Longhorns and Steve Sarkisian have zeroed in on Pete Kwiatkowski to be the defensive coordinator. He is the DC of the Washington Huskies, and he might be the guy Sark tabs. Of course, Steve Sarkisian was the head coach at Washington for five seasons. But Pete Kwiatkowski was not a part of that, I don't believe, but I'm going to need to try to connect those dots. But Kwiatkowski was actually with Chris Peterson in Boise when Boise State was built with that team. And then, of course, Chris Peterson went to Washington to run that. So he's seen as a high-end defensive coordinator. And as you said, with three defensive coaches already hired, they're looking, you know, much like people look at Steve Sarkisian as an offensive mind and game planner and schemer and scheming. You know, the same thing can be said on the defensive side. It's someone who can scheme against Big 12 offenses, It's what Lincoln Riley was looking for when he hired Alex Grinch, who had spent 1 year at Ohio State. Before that was at Washington State. You're looking for someone that can scheme up against these Big 12 defenses and veteran. This guy's 55 years old, so just a name to watch. Pete Kwiatkowski, the current D.C. at Washington, is being reported now by multiple spots.
Yeah, Sark already has what he's looking for in his secondary. He's just looking for a guy to coordinate the rest of it. He's very comfortable with the people that he's already chosen. So what he's looking for is somebody who just needs to coordinate all of them.
Yeah.
And he's, you know what I'm saying? He's not looking for a defensive coordinator to come and choose his guys. Sark is choosing the guys that he wants, even on the defensive side. And his expectations are the defensive coordinator will come and gather them all together and get them on the same page. Smart move. I mean, that's the way you want it. You're not letting your defensive coordinator choose everybody on defense. I'm the head coach. I'm choosing the guys that I feel comfortable with on defense. Your job is to get them all together.
Correct. And I'm trying to guess. So Steve Sarkisian was the head coach of Washington from 2009 to 2013. And then Kwiatkowski got to Washington in 2014, which, you know, obviously when Steve Sarkisian took the USC job, Chris Peterson then took the Washington job and brought Kwiatkowski with him. So those two, Sark and Kwiatkowski, had not coached together. They were 1 year apart at Washington, but obviously familiar with one another. So we'll keep an eye on this one. 55 years old, started and played at Boise State, worked with Chris Peterson, and then has spent the last, six, seven seasons at Washington as the defensive coordinator.
He may have heard about him as a recruiter, because Sark is going to recruit California. And maybe this guy from Boise and has ties to Washington is a pretty good recruiter, you know, in the state of California, because they're going to need a good recruiter to go there. It's, you know, yeah, the brand name of Texas obviously is known throughout Southern California and places in California, but it'd be nice to have a guy who that's where he recruits, has been recruiting there, and has had some success. Because the other guys on this staff, are they California ties? There's a number that have Texas ties, but I don't see many that have California ties.
Yeah, and this guy's got Boise, Idaho ties. West Coast, for sure.
West Coast,
reading up on this, you mean he's looking for recruiting, he's looking for scheme, and as you say, coordination. You want a defense that is tied together, that is fundamentally sound, that everything I think we saw from Chris Ash, you know, that they left the Todd Orlando, you know, high-risk defense with a lot of blitzing and, you know, the launching tackles and the human missile defense that I guess he was coaching. And I do think we saw, you know, a more disciplined defense under Chris Ash, and that was the push for Tom Herman was, look, we got to get back to playing basics and fundamental football. That's Kwiatkowski too. When you look at it, that's a scheme that is solid and based in fundamentals, and that's what you want to be, a good tackling team, run to the ball, take this speed and match up with the schools in the Big 12. So again, don't know a ton about him. That's a name that's out there this morning. We will keep our eyes on that as Texas looking to finalize that coaching staff. Two spots left, defensive coordinator and one other spot on the defensive side of the ball. It also says, Buck, through his career, he's been heavily coaching linebackers. So Texas leads the linebackers coach. So this would make sense where your D.C. would also be the linebackers coach. Wherever he's been, Washington, Boise State. He played D-line as a player, but has coached defensive and linebackers a majority of the time as a coordinator and a position coach. So just
and it sounds like, you know, from what you're hearing, it sounds like this is like for real, so... But I'm still not leaving out a defensive coordinator or the possibility that now that Nick Saban has an offensive line coach, that they're not out to go get their defensive coordinator from Alabama too. Now, you know,
yeah.
As I said, Sark's taken enough guys, and everybody else has taken enough guys from Alabama too. It's just not just what Sark has done. You know, like, as you said, Marshall has got their running back coach and wide receiver coach to come there. So why would your wide receiver coach leave Alabama to go to Marshall?
I don't. Yeah, that Holman Wiggins did go with.
That's odd.
It's a friendship. I don't know, because the running backs coach has been named the head coach. The running backs coach at Alabama got the Marshall job to replace Doc Holliday, and Holman Wiggins going with him. I don't know if that's a good relationship or whatever. But
it's got to be a great relationship. It's just that seems like you're stepping. That's a step back, I would think, to go from Alabama to be the. Whether you're the offensive coordinator or whatever at Marshall, that's
yeah,
ooh, that's chancy. I'm saying that's a chance that you're taking right there.
Well, and it leads and it indicates that maybe there wasn't a spot here, because the Holman Wiggins was a name that you originally heard at Texas along with the others. And, you know, Steve Sarkisian is elected to stick with Andre Coleman. And I know Texas fans, I mean, this goes to the two coaches he kept on staff, Stan Drayton and Andre Coleman, probably criticized more than either, you know, any coach last year because of the rotations at wide receiver and running back. Like, why why are these? And as you have said from your coaching experience, you think that was Tom Herman playing favorites, and he was, you know, standing over and undermining.
Micromanaging everything.
Yeah, to get playing time for guys, to keep guys happy. You know, because that'll be a question for Andre Coleman. I'm sure Steve Sarkisian had to ask it. Look, why weren't your best receivers on the field at all times last year? Why weren't they out there when it was winning time in the biggest of games? I mean, we went through it over and over again, but there were games where Texas needs a big drive, and it's the fourth quarter, and, you know, Bijan Robinson's not the running back, and Kai Money or somebody like that's in the game at wide receiver. You're thinking, we like Kai Money, good player, but put your best players on the field. And it was funny when we talked to our friend.
I know this. Sark better have Kai Money in some of the routes. He needs to be – Kai Money still needs to get his snaps.
I'll take Jake Smith as a developing receiver there with Jordan Whittington. And
Zay and I need to know that Kai Money is going to get in within four quarters.
Okay. Get him in the game. Make sure he's happy. But is this like your fullback you had that his dad was in the mob or something that
No, his dad was going to kill me, so that's different. There's something different to me.
Shoes if you're not playing
and
his
once
kid.
Again, yeah, once again, Stan Drayton has coached for so long and coached so many good players that all of a sudden he didn't forget to know who the best running back was there.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think the normal Joe fan and myself were telling Stan Drayton anything that he didn't know which running back is the best, and Keyonte Ingram and all this other stuff. Why is he getting snaps? I mean, that was all micromanaged by Tom Herman. Tom Herman was calling the shots for the running back coach, for the wide receiver coach, and who knows what coaches he was calling shots for. He wanted full control of who was going in the games. And like I said, when you don't see quarterbacks that are second and third string with headsets on and understanding what the lingo is, so that if you had to go into the game that you're familiar with what's being called and what's being said, that just tell me that dude didn't want anybody to hear who's calling the plays.
Yeah, those stories continue to be out there.
He didn't want you to hear the conversation between him and the offensive coordinator because he was calling most of the shots, I believe.
Well, it certainly has a lot of there's a lot of ammo there for that to be absolutely right on and spot on. Interesting that Steve Sarkisian, wherever he's been as a coach or a coordinator, has had a 1,000-yard running back. Tom Herman as a head coach had never had a 1,000-yard running back at Houston or at Texas. We'll come back when we do. It is the Hot or Not Topics, things we have missed. Isaiah Collier always digs deep and finds some good stuff. We'll also reset those headlines. Baylor asserting themselves in the Big 12 last night, and Bill Self was impressed. We'll get to that. And Texas basketball getting an unplanned week off. No games this week. Details coming. It's a busy Tuesday on B&E.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstead Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstead Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
A lot of coaching news this morning on this Tuesday. A lot of hoops as well. Big NBA day yesterday on MLK Day. Also, top 10 matchup in the Big 12 last night. Kansas-Baylor, all Baylor. 13-0 now. We'll get you details. Let's hear from Bill Self. He conceded that there's quite a gap between Gonzaga and Baylor, in his opinion, and the rest of the conference. What does that mean for Texas? We'll get you details. But as we said on the way to the timeout, there are now reports that Washington defensive coordinator, the Washington Huskies, defensive coordinator Pete Kwiatkowski has become potentially the lead target for the defensive coordinator spot at Texas. We'll keep you posted on that. He and Jimmy Lake have been running the defense of Washington for Chris Peterson, doing a nice job. We'll watch that. And reports that after interviews yesterday that Houston Texans may be ramping it up on Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, to be their new head coach. We'll follow that story as well. As we get it going, of course, Chiefs have bigger fish to fry. They'll play the Bills this weekend in the AFC Championship game. Let me ask you and Isaiah Collier before Zay walks us through the hot or not topics, Buck. Zay, Buck, where are you leaning Chiefs-Bills in a very evenly matched AFC Championship game, as well as the Bills have played since October? They've only lost one football game. Where's your Tuesday lean on that game?
Mine's still with Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs?
Zay.
Yeah, I like Bills. This Patrick Mahomes concussion stuff scare me a little bit.
Ooh.
Not going to lie.
Yeah, and word that to Andy Reid said yesterday, the toe issue that you saw Patrick Mahomes hobbling on a little bit on Sunday, they're not concerned about that. He is in the concussion protocol, but Andy Reid wouldn't confirm that he had a concussion. There's some in Kansas City believe he has some type of like a neck strain. They kind of got him off balance, and that's the bigger
issue.
I'm
telling you, when I saw that, I didn't see much of a hit.
Nope.
When his head, I mean, it just grazed the ground. I never saw a hit from behind, and it's almost like getting choked out.
Yeah.
You know, when that guy had his arm around his neck,
yeah,
when he went to the ground, I mean, he put a pretty good stranglehold because he never left his neck. He never let it go for a while, and that's when it seemed like Patrick Mahomes got dazed from having his air cut off, you know?
And it's like when your brother and give you the chokehold.
Oh, yeah, choke him out. Hold I used back to choke him. Oh, dude. Zay, I used to put my brother out. I used to tell that dude, sleep. I used to get behind him and try to put the sleeper on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn near killed him one time,
damn
too.
Damn near killed him.
I damn near killed him because I put the sleeper on him, and it went for a while. Now, that's not funny because there have been kids that have done that.
Yeah, no,
really?
I know. That happened.
Choked their brothers out. But
a student at our kids' school when they were in high school. Zay, what do you have, dude? What do you have with our hot or not topics, things we've missed on this busy Tuesday?
Thanks, fellas. So the Tiger Woods Part 2 HBO special came out this Sunday. And
I saw it.
Obviously, we know about Tiger's flings. There's nothing, you know, secret about that. But what shocked me was his influences, Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley. So basically a lady that I guess worked a lot of VIP stuff in Vegas who hosted Jordan and Tiger and Charles. She said that Tiger wasn't one of those Mac Daddy type of guys, so he wouldn't really hit on girls like Jordan would. And when Tiger asked Jordan, hey, what do I say to these women? Mike just went and said, you tell them you're Tiger Woods.
Yes. What else do you need to say?
Yeah, so how do we feel about this? Hot or not? Jordan a good influence or not?
Well, I mean, those guys were gambling buddies. When they went to Vegas, they spent all kinds of money. They rented whole floors for the time that they spent together, I think. And I don't even know if they're, like, friends anymore, any of them.
Well, and that's – look, I'll say this. I mean, the two-part series, it's over. That's it. And you can go back and watch it. I thought it was extremely well done. As you said, Buck, there's nothing new, and there is a lot of salacious stuff in it, but I thought it was extremely well done. It left on a really high note for Tiger, but it does paint a picture of a guy who was a person that you feel bad for. There's empathy there because his parents built him to be this golf machine, which he became, but they never really taught him to be a human being, which we assumed, but you get to kind of see it behind the scene. He never learned how to have interpersonal relationships and do those well, and no, that's what, you know, it led to, you know, the drug addiction and the things that he had to deal with, Buck, with the painkillers and, you know, fighting the back injuries and things. I mean, he was a hollow guy. I mean, he really was after his divorce from Elon, and he had to battle his way back, and he's had to learn. And that's the one thing that
your hangout buddies, when they go to Vegas, don't necessarily have great influence on you. I mean, they're all out there and they're gambling, and they're not gambling like you and I. They're gambling millions of dollars.
Well, they have females wherever they want them, and that was very simple. And the VIP folks took care of them. And Tiger learned that lifestyle, and that became his. That's how he filled his hole, right? Was that lifestyle and ladies like that? Even though he was married and had kids, but again, when he, you know, that traffic stop, Buck. Remember when he was high on five different prescription drugs? And
yes.
I mean, that was his low moment, and he had to go to rehab for real on that and get himself clean. And one thing I'll say, the reason I say it ended on a high note because it ended with his win in the Masters in 2019.
With his son.
Yes, and the way he just plays now, Buck, he's much more, he's got a big smile on his face these days. He talks to his fellow competitors. He's not just this machine that he was before, and you know, the documentary paints a pretty good picture. He had to learn to do that, Buck. He had to learn to be a person at some level and not just this machine-like golfer that stomps on competitors' throats. And I mean, that's what he was created to be by his parents, and he had to learn how to, you know, become a person at a very late age. That's obvious. But as for Michael Jordan's advice, probably right. Just say you're Tiger Woods, even if you're somewhat awkward saying it. All right, we'll come back. We'll reset these headlines. We will continue the conversations. Your thoughts if you've seen the Tiger Woods two-part documentary. Pretty intriguing stuff, in my opinion. We'll take your thoughts on that. What were your reviews of it? It's B&E, Show of the People. Rolls on a Tuesday.